Let us hear the word of God as we find it in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Familiar words to all of us. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And then from Matthew 18, the words of Jesus again. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. What a joy it was to see these young children come this morning and share in that time. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, said Jesus. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the man by whom the temptations come. And then down a little further. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And you know the rest of that parable, but it ends with this verse. So it is not the will of my Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. And then from the book of Luke, these words, another parable. Man asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and your neighbor is yourself. And he said, but who's my neighbor? He wanted to get off the hook. And Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. And you know the rest of that parable. The Good Samaritan came, picked up the man, ministered to his wounds, took him to a place where he could be safe. And then we read these words. Jesus asked him, who proved to be neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. May the same Holy Spirit who inspired the writing of this word enable us to understand it. I have chosen to bring an object lesson this morning. Are you the kind of person that loves a sale? Now I confess to you, I do love sales. And I'm afraid I've reproduced after my own kind. My daughter and her husband and three little children came home Easter weekend, and on Saturday my wife Patty and Carrie went out shopping, and when we got back from our golf game, she said to her husband, honey, I saved you $115 today. He said, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. If you've saved me $115, I've got some idea as to how much you spent. Well, I want you to know I love sales. And do you know how every now and then a store will go out of business? And when they do, the first week of the sale, they take off 10% of everything, and the second week, 20%, and 30%, and 40%. and usually down to 50. And we had a large store going out of sale, going out of business, and they had this sale, and when it was 10% off, I looked over the situation to see what I might want to buy when it was 30% off and what I might want to buy when it was 40% off, and I saw a fire extinguisher. And I thought to myself, when it gets to be 40% off, I'm going to buy that fire extinguisher. I had been wanting to have one by my furnace for a long time. And sure enough, 40% off, there were two fire extinguishers still there, and I picked up one, and I thought, this is the day. I am so glad to get this fire extinguisher. And I looked down at the bottom here, and there was a little sign. It said, non-operable display unit only. And I looked at that, and I said to myself, now that's ridiculous. Who in the world would want to buy a display unit? Nobody would buy a display unit. And so I thought to myself, that must not mean what it says. And so I went to the cashier and I put down a few dollars and was convinced I had just picked up one whale of a buy. And as I walked out, I looked over the left, and here on this wall were all kinds of signs. All sales final. All sales final. I thought to myself, boy, this is one time I'm not going to worry about that. And I got home, threw the thing to my 21-year-old son, and I said, look, Tim, what I got today. I got us a fire extinguisher. And he grabbed the thing, he said, Dad, I'm really thrilled to hear that. He said, I know you've been wanting to have one. And then he looked at the bottom of it. He said, hey, Dad. He said, look here, it says, non-operable display unit only. I said, yeah, isn't that ridiculous? Who would buy a display unit? And he turned it on its side and there was a hole underneath. He said, this thing's empty. This thing is not operable. It's a display unit. I said, you got to be kidding. And I took that thing and I went back to the cashier and I even talked her into taking it back. But you know what? I decided to keep it. Because I realized that was one of the best illustrations I had ever seen of the Church of Jesus Christ when it comes to the problem of pornography and the sexual revolution. Non-operable. Display unit only. You are the salt of the earth. When those people heard those words of Jesus, they knew what it meant. Salt was used to preserve meat. They didn't have refrigeration. Salt was used to purify wounds from infection. Salt was used to make rather pale food into delicious food. You are to help preserve the world, help purify the world, help bring life and seasoning and vitality to the world. Non-operable. Display unit only. You are the light of the world. Light drives out the darkness. Light reveals that which needs to be cleansed and changed. Light guides us. You are the light of the world. That's not the word of Jerry Kirk. That's the word of our Lord. But when it comes to the sexual revolution and to pornography, non-operable. Display unit only. What a tragedy. The Church of Jesus Christ has been compromised. Beloved, I wish I knew you. It is not easy for me to speak about these things to a congregation when I have not paid the price of knowing you and sharing life with you. But I am here today to tell you that we have a very serious problem in America. The sexual revolution is causing such havoc to children and to young people and to women and to men and to marriages and to families that it is almost a sickness unto death. And I'm not exaggerating. And when I tell you the facts, you will understand. 4 years ago, this month, I preached a sermon that changed my life. And in that sermon, I preached on the authority of Jesus in the world, and then I preached on what pornography was doing to America. And it changed my life. It broke my heart. And I wept. I wept uncontrollably, convulsing in tears for about 30 minutes. And that's why I'm here today. Because Jesus said, "It is not the will of my Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish." And I learned the facts. I learned what is happening to the children of America. I learned that 300,000 children are being used to produce child pornography every year in America. 300,000. I learned that 900,000 children and young people are prostitutes in America. That's 1,200,000. I learned that hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children are being sexually abused in the cities of America, on the playgrounds of America. In the daycare centers of America. Then I learned the ultimate betrayal. That children were being molested in their own homes through incest. And I said to God, "Don't tell me you love the children. Why don't you do something about it?" And then I learned about the young people. I learned the facts that kids are often made to feel embarrassed if they are not promiscuous. Two 2,000 young people were asked, "Where did you learn about sex?" 99% of the boys and 90% of the girls said through pornography. Fifty young people were on a retreat in a Midwestern city, and it was led by a psychologist. And out of 50 young people between the ages of 13 and 15 from that particular church, only 2 claimed to still be virgins. We have a problem. I want to tell you the presuppositions of that pornography that is informing our young people. And I'm reading from Dr. Rio Christensen. "Pornography leaves the impression with its views that sex has no relationship to privacy, that it is unrelated to love, commitment, and marriage, that bizarre forms of sex are the most gratifying," and I'm going to skip over because I can't even bring myself to say the next line, "and that irresponsible sex has no adverse consequences, no venereal disease, illegitimate births, abortions, premature marriages, single-parent families, or moral erosion." Nothing could be further from the truth. I learned the facts as to the contents of pornography, and I'm not even going to share that with you. It's too painful. I did share it on Friday night along with Ken Wooden of 2020 ABC News. And that, both of those messages are on videotape and audio tape. And if you want to know the facts, you can learn them in that way. And I want you to know that when I heard Ken Wooden, I became physically sick. He has done research on the children across America and the ways that they are being abducted and sexually molested and then murdered. I couldn't stand to hear him. I wanted him to end because my heart was being broken all over again. And in that time of prayer, I said, "Oh God, don't tell me you love the youth of America. Why don't you do something?" And then I learned about the women of America. The rape rate has gone up 700% in my lifetime. Where have the Christians been? Pornography has been promoting the rape of women for two decades. Where have the Christians been? The videotapes are now exploding across America. And I've seen two of them, one for 2 minutes and one for 10 minutes. They are promoting the rape of the women of America. Where have the Christians been? Pornography blasphemes our Lord and the most precious truths of our faith. Hustler magazine, the cover, a nude woman on a cross last spring, a year ago. The centerfold, 12 women nude around the communion table. Let me ask you something. If the Jewish faith were attacked like that, what would happen in America within the next 2 weeks? We'd have a revolution. That's what would happen in America. Where have the Christians been? If magazines did that toward black people, they would have a revolution within days. And almost no outcry in America. Is there nothing that will produce righteous indignation within us? I said, "Oh God, don't tell me you love the women. Why don't you do something?" I learned the FBI report and statistic that one out of every four 12-year-old little girls will be raped in her lifetime. And I said, "Lord, that must not happen. That will not happen. If I have to give my life so it will not happen, it will not happen." But where have the Christians been? Where have the men been? When I grew up, my father was a Rose Bowl football player, a football, basketball, baseball coach, a state legislator. If somebody swore in my presence, they had to face my dad. What's happened to us? Well, I was in prayer for about a half an hour. I was weeping uncontrollably that whole half hour. And I was angry with me and angry with the church and angry with God. And I said, "Don't tell me you love the children and love the young people and love the women and love the marriages and love the families. Why don't you do something?" I've never talked to God that way in my life before. And then I was silent. And then I was still in God's presence. And then these words came to my mind. I didn't hear any voice. "Terry, I do love the children. but I've chosen to love them through my people. Why don't you do something? I do love the young people, but I've chosen to love them through my people. Why don't you do something about it? I love the women. I love the marriages. I love the families. But I've chosen to do it through my people. Why don't you do something about it? And I was overwhelmed. My heart, I thought, was going to leap out of my body. I couldn't stand the pain. And I said, Lord, either you've got to take the pain away from my heart or you've got to share it with other people. I cannot take it. And then something wonderful happened. The peace of God came into my heart. And then the assurance that in fact God is going to unite and mobilize the whole body of Christ in America to rise up and make a difference, to be salt and to be light. And I believed it. And it changed me. My congregation has now released me for 90% of my time. I've been senior pastor 18 and a half years. Can you imagine releasing your senior pastor for 90% of his time? I preach once every 2 months. I meet with the executive staff once every 2 to 3 weeks. And the rest of the time I have the privilege of going among God's people and asking, where have the Christians been? We've been non-operable. We've been display units only. You know, I heard the lies told so often that I had come to believe them. You can't legislate morality. Have you ever heard that lie? Do you know that every law is written in order to legislate morality? That's the whole point of the law. That's what it means to be a nation under law. It is to legislate morality. The question is, will we have the morality that our laws are based upon, or will we allow the pornographers to impose their morality on us? Have you ever heard that lie? You can't legislate morality. Here's another one. You're just trying to impose your morality on us. No. We're not trying to impose our morality on the nation. The duly elected officials of our country have written the laws. The duly appointed Supreme Court justices have interpreted the law, and they have said there is no protection for obscenity in the First Amendment. Obscenity is not protected speech. It's one of about 25 different things that are not protected by the First Amendment. Now, when I was invited to come and to be with you here today, I thank God for the privilege of being able to share these things with you. You and I are facing a moral crisis in America. I want you to know the facts. Sexually transmitted diseases have become epidemic. AIDS is ravaging America. I want to quote to you a 63-year-old professor of Harvard, the head of neurosurgery of Boston City Hospital, a man who, when I asked him his religious heritage, he said, Jerry, I'm not religious. He said, my wife is a disillusioned Unitarian, but I'm not religious. And he said to me and to the Boston Leadership Conference, AIDS is so dangerous. We now have 1 million persons with the AIDS virus. AIDS is so dangerous, if we do not find a cure and if we do not quarantine those who already have the virus, our species is endangered. That's not a preacher. That's a 63-year-old Ivy League professor who says he's not religious. We are told by Time magazine that if there is no cure and persons with AIDS are not quarantined, by 1996, half of the population will be infected. These are not extreme statements. These are the facts. In 1984, 90,000 new cases of syphilis, the 500,000 new cases of incurable herpes, 1 million new cases of venereal warts, 2 million new cases of gonorrhea, and 3 to 4 million new cases of chlamydia. And I heard yesterday that this year they expect 5 million new cases of chlamydia. Do you realize that more children were infected through venereal disease in birth in 1984 alone than all of the people affected by polio in the whole decade of the 50s? You see, for some it's a religious issue to rise up and do something about pornography. For others it's a moral issue, but for everybody it is a public safety issue. Where have the Christians been? Non-operable. Display unit only. I need to ask you a question. Please answer it honestly to yourself. With 2 million children being sexually abused every year in America, does it have to be your little girl before you decide to do something? Does it have to be your little granddaughter? Does it have to be your little boy before you decide, I'm going to do something now? I have no reservation to ask you to lay down your life with me. None. I haven't come to take up an offering. I haven't come to get you into my program. But I have come to ask you to lay down your life for Jesus Christ and for the children of America. Because my children and yours are worth it. And my grandchildren and yours are worth it. I close with this story. It was out in the West. A little 3-year-old girl wandered away from her home and got lost. And the whole town was searching for her. And after 3 days, they were gathered in the town square, and one of the young people said, hey, you know that big field south of town, about 1.5 miles wide and 2 miles long? The grass is over 3 feet high. Maybe she wandered into that home or into that field and got lost and didn't know how to get out. If we all took hands at the end of the field and walked up that field, if she's there, we'd find her. And everybody got kind of excited, and they went out to the field, and they all took hands, and they began to walk up the field, and they were about 2/3 of the way up. And then the shout went out, here she is, here she is. And then the scream, she's dead, she's dead. They gathered in the funeral a couple of days later, and one of the young people stood up and said, if we had only taken hands sooner, that little girl would still be alive. We can't take hands any sooner. But we can take hands now. We can take hands across Oklahoma City and across Oklahoma and across America, and we can rise up And Southland removing pornography from 4,500 stores will only be the beginning trickle. We're going to focus on pornography that involves or affects children and pornography that involves the exploitation and degradation of women. That's where we're going to focus. And we're going to win. Because Jesus says, "You're salt, not non-operable. You are light, not a display unit only." Will you bow with me in prayer? Oh Lord, please have mercy upon us. Please, Father, have mercy upon the children of our country. Have mercy upon this generation of young people and bless them and help them know the gift of our sexuality and the blessing of that love within marriage. Lord, I pray for these marriages and families gathered here. I pray, Lord, for each one. You know the pain and the wounds that have been brought into this sanctuary today. You know the need for your healing, grace, and love, and I pray for it. I ask that you would touch every person according to their need, and I pray, oh Lord, that you would enable us and lead us and empower us to take hands now. We ask it in Jesus' name.